Happy birthday, church, for real. This is an exciting thing, and it is. It's Christ be magnified. It is not look at us, look what we did, look what we're doing. God is so good. God is so kind and faithful. Oh, my goodness. We're going to explore that idea today. I have an image. There's an image with our invite that we use, and then me with some kids, I think, me and Chelsea there. This has been, I know, right? That is remarkable. So the picture on the left is the card that we sent out a few weeks or maybe a month before we launched. I met someone the other day that said they remember this was why they came to church. And I can't remember who that was. What a remarkable thing. We sent 4,000 cards out, and we prayed and said, God, would you allow these to not be immediately discarded along with the Subway coupons and stuff that you get and you don't really want, but we're like, God, would you bless these and help them wind up in the mailboxes and in the hands of people who might be looking for a church? And so we sent those out, and that picture was around the time, I think a little bit before we planted the church. And so, like, especially with our kids, the growth of the church, I look at our children and think, oh my goodness, how'd you get to this point? And I think at the church sometimes, we were a baby church. We were meeting in a cafeteria at Northside Elementary, and then you blink, and then we're here today, and so abundantly beyond indeed. Begin with that verse that John shared for us, Ephesians 3, 20-21. Now to him, it's all to him, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Church, I have said this every week of this series, but it is God's desire to move his people forward, not because he is cracking a whip and expecting us to produce or to do or this. That's not what it is at all. He's expecting us to move forward because that's what growth is. Every person in here who has a child knows that you want your child to grow. While you value every stage of life, you are also never satisfied with that stage because the next stage is important and the next stage is essential. And sooner or later, you go from diapers to potty trained to all these other things into school and independence. None of those stages are where we're meant to remain. We're supposed to continue to grow and be independent. And then there's a stage of being a little bit too big for the nest, but also not ready to go. And there can be some tension in that. Like, why don't you get out of my house already? Oh my gosh, you have to be here for like 8 more years. And there's this tension, right? And then I assume, I don't know this firsthand, but you want your children to leave. You want them to go and establish their own lives and families and careers and make their own impact. And yet you're still connected. And then there's the next stage. We talked about grandchildren. I can't even fathom, but I know some of you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and that's ongoing. And I believe that when you say that God is a God that values the beyond, that he wants us to continue to move forward, not to remain in any no status quo, no matter what your season of life is when it comes to faith. If you have been following Christ for years and you have massive amounts of scripture memorized, and you're living, you feel like it's the best of your ability to stay close to Jesus, God smiles on that. And he says, the best is yet to come. And if you are a new believer, and right now, and I know we have some new believers in this church who are excitedly exploring faith and figuring out what does it mean to follow Jesus, and it's a big book, I don't know where to start, I don't understand everything, and you know you're kind of maybe you're getting it right half the time, but you're excited and you're new in your faith. God smiles on that and he says, the best is yet to come. And if you are here and you are just faith interested, faith curious, faith adjacent, like you're curious to what's going on here. I know there's some people who have been coming recently, not necessarily because they want to be here, but because they see something in the life of a family member that they cannot explain. I had this conversation with a family about a week and a half ago that they're someone that's coming to this church not because they have any specific reason to, or it's like, oh, I need to come to church, but something is going on in their family, and they're going, what's going on? You got to tell me, what's the secret? And they said, it's Jesus. It's not a pastor, it's not a team, it's Jesus. And they said, well, I don't know about all that, but if you tell me that that's taking place at church, then I'm going to be there. And if that's your level of faith right now, you're just curious and exploring, man, God looks on that and he smiles and he says, oh, wow, the best is yet to come. A quote that we've shared most of the weeks by John Maxwell is that God loves us as we are. Thank you, Jesus. But he loves us too much to let us stay as we are. Again, thank you, Jesus. He wants us to experience growth. He wants us to experience that which is beyond, which is next, which is around the corner or past the horizon. Over the past 9 weeks, we've talked about moving beyond convenience to commitment, beyond fear to trust, beyond scarcity to living in abundance, beyond shame and to live in a place of healing, to move beyond living lives of distraction and instead being defined by our devotion. But a question that I've wondered is, well, how can we trust that? Really, can we believe that God wants us to, like, where's the evidence for all these things I've been saying for 9 weeks? It sounds good, right? Move beyond A to B, move beyond this, experience growth. But how can we believe that there really is something around the bend across the horizon? How can we actually put our trust in that? And I want to say this, that one reason that we can have faith that God desires us to experience that which is beyond today is that he's already brought us to and through the beyond of yesterday. And let me say it more simply, maybe. Yesterday's beyond is today's blessing. That's one of the things I want us to think about today. Yesterday's beyond is today's blessing. What did you pray for a year ago? 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that in that moment, you were praying for something that was beyond all you could ask or imagine. Maybe 10 years ago, you were praying that God would salvage a relationship. And then we fast forward and you're living perhaps in the provision of that prayer being answered. Maybe you prayed for the birth of a child. And now you're on the other side of that and you experience that blessing. It can be very easy for us sometimes to take for granted what we are experiencing today, forgetting that that was above and beyond anything we could ask or imagine weeks, months, or years prior. This is a relatively easy thing to do. 10 years ago, last Sunday, I have a picture. This picture is one of my favorite pictures. It's not glamorous, flashy, or even that specific, like what's going on here. This is one of my favorite pictures. This was the Sunday, 10 years ago, last Sunday. This was our final time gathering. It was our first time gathering in the school. We just called it kind of like a test Sunday where we had a service. We set everything up. What are we doing here? But I love this. In that picture, you have about 30 people praying for immeasurably more and abundantly beyond all we could ask or imagine. We had no idea what to expect, no idea what to prepare for. We just said, God, would you do more with what we have to offer than we could do on our own? God's abundantly beyond plans were at work in that moment, and from that point have been answered week after month after year to today's anniversary celebration. Now, I'm very, very, very thankful for every person in that group right now. What's interesting, though, the vast majority, I see a couple people in that picture that are here today. The vast majority, 80% of the people in that small group are not here today. Some have moved, some have changed churches, some have passed on. And yet, 10 years ago, last Sunday, a group of people sat in a cafeteria and had no idea what we were getting into, I promise. We had no clue what we were getting ready for. But we prayed and said, God, would you do something beyond what we could ask or imagine? And you are here today as a result, partly because there were people who said, I don't know what we're doing, but we're going to ask God to do something. Now, this abundantly beyond goes way it goes back even further. Rocky mentioned the mission of the FEC to establish reproducing churches worldwide. I'm so thankful. He mentioned a couple different churches that decades ago were putting things in motion that we are experiencing the fruit of today. And I think of probably about, so we're 10 years, so probably about 15 years ago-ish, even before I was even thinking about church planting, but I know the FEC, the elders of the FEC and the elders at Pine Hills Church had begun not to just think about church planting, but had begun to very specifically pray about what would it look like to plant a church, to send people out and start a new community. God was moving abundantly beyond in those prayers. And then a few years later, brought together families from Garrett, Avila, Huntertown, Fort Wayne, Kendallville, and a few others, some of them that you saw in that picture, to pray about, to respond to that call that maybe we could do something. Maybe God is actually calling us to do something that will make an impact. There's no way to know if or how that prayer is going to be answered, right? But there are people who said, let's pray abundantly beyond. And then God showed up and we asked the church for a bunch of money, which is what you do when you need a bunch of money. You go to the people who you think have the money. And I had no expectation that there would be the amount of money we needed. We had nothing. We didn't have a single microphone. We didn't have anything. And the faithfulness of the congregation at Pine Hills in Fort Wayne collectively gave us about $75,000. That's a sacrifice, right? That could have been used to their budget. That could have been used for their families. But God was at work doing something abundantly beyond. And so we had this enough money to get started and pay the school and rent some office space. And we launched our first Sunday. Was anyone there on our first Sunday? It was November 8th, 2015. A couple. See, that's just a fraction of us. And people showed up. And maybe the most abundantly beyond thing to that point is some of them came back. Praise God. That was the fear. I didn't have a lot of fear. Would people show up? Because it's a small town. Like, what's going on? That's like people were curious. And a lot of people showed up. And I was like, that's like a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, this many people showed up. And I said, do not get excited. Week 2 and 3 and 4 are when it's going to really pan out. And we're going to see who's here, what's going on, but some people came back, and God was continually doing abundantly beyond than all we asked or imagined. God was with us abundantly beyond through a season that we look back on with all kinds of complicated feelings, that season of COVID. Many churches closed, many businesses closed, many, even within our own body, we've lost loved ones in that season of life, and that was very hard. But not every church survived that season of life, and yet, for whatever reason, God saw fit to go abundantly beyond and sustain a young church plant who didn't even have a place to call home, and allowed us to come through that, not just by the skin of our teeth, but with a building that we walked out of the COVID season with, that God prompted this group of believers to sacrificially give so that we could purchase this. Now, it wasn't just the people who gave the funds to buy this building, but to rewind all the way back, around 2017, we had people in our church, again, we were 2 years old, we had no idea what was going to happen, what the future would look like. On Chelsea and I's honor, our plans were only week to week. Let's just do another Sunday. Let's run it back. We never dreamed about where God was taking us. Maybe we should have, but boy, it was, you don't know what you don't know. And so we prayed week to week. And around 2017, we had people in our church say, I believe that someday we're not going to meet in a elementary anymore. We're not going to meet in a school anymore. And so, interestingly, unconnected to things that would happen later, but we initiated a restricted savings account that we called appropriately the Beyond Fund. Because we believed in that moment, leaders said, God is going to do abundantly beyond all we ask. We were not looking for a property. We just believed that someday God would provide us something that was not a rented cafetorium, and we would set money aside until that would happen. Fast forward, we're here. Fast forward, the church body sacrificially gave so we could turn an event center into a place for worship. And I would say this, miracle after miracle, not just a young church being able to afford a building or to renovate it to make this space. Even something as, some of you know this story, some of you don't, when we were purchasing the building, We found out, we were very excited. We think we can do it. It's in our budget. We're getting ready to move forward. And then we get a phone call from someone who's higher up than us. Says, oh, by the way, someone in the realtor world, by the way, we're glad you're excited about the building. This is going to be great. You should know the parking lot is not included. What? Pardon? Completely true. The parking lot was a separate parcel, and not only was the parking lot not included in the price, like, have you ever moved into a house and they're like, hey, yeah, it's great. Here's the price. The garage is going to be extra. The yard is going to be extra. Like, that's part of life. We were not anticipating that. That was enough of a surprise and a shock. And then we found out that there was about $200,000 to $240,000 of back taxes on the parking lot parcel. True story. And we said, God, we thought this was where you were leading us. That was more than our entire budget. We can't spend our budget on a parking lot, not even including the purchase price, but just the back taxes. It was a whole complicated thing. And so we prayed about it. And we said, God, we believe that you're moving in this direction, that you're moving us abundantly beyond. But this one doesn't make sense. And so we prayed about it. And we didn't know what else to do, so we went and sat in front of some city leaders at an important meeting and said, we would like to buy this building. We can probably barely afford it. It's right there, but this parking lot and the taxes would make it untenable entirely. And they thought about it for all of maybe 20 seconds. And the mayor at the time, Mayor Hanshu, said, I think this community is better with Pine Hills, Kendallville being part of it. And she goes, so I proposed to the council that we dissolve the $240,000 tax lien and sell them the property for a dollar. And Jared Raymer and I sat there. Praise God for that, absolutely. Now here's what we weren't praying for that. We were praying for a solution, a path forward. We were not praying, God, would you magically do it? We were praying that we could figure out a way to afford it, that we could figure out a way to pay it. And then God said, you can pray for that, but I'm going to go abundantly beyond than all you're asking or imagining. And I did, on that day, as Jared and I left, in shock to a degree of wow, I said, hey, Jared, I gave him a dollar, and I said, I'll buy the parking lot. And you make sure the church knows that I sacrificed for this thing, all right? So all of you that enjoyed parking today, not having to Uber in, you are welcome. It was abundantly beyond. Let me tell you this. Every blessing that we have experienced as a church, every blessing, every story, every baptism, every momentous memory that you have has been a first was a beyond prayer. Somebody was praying before we experienced that thing, before we even had it in our mind. Think about your life. Don't just think about our church. What blessings are you experiencing today that were yesterday's beyond? The things that you couldn't even have imagined of a year ago, 5 years ago. What blessings? What part of your life might be considered mundane today, but 5 years ago was a miracle? It's so easy to move into a season of taking things for granted. That at one point we're beyond our wildest dreams, and now we wake up to the reality every day. Now I say all this, I want us to think about our blessings, the things we're experiencing today, because not only have we been given them, we've been given them so that we would use them. I want to share with you one of my favorite passages of scripture from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Matthew 25, 14 through 30, Jesus tells a parable, a story. This is a story where he takes a heavenly truth and tells it in earthly terms. And here we read Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14, Jesus says this. He says, again, it will be like, it meaning the kingdom of God. He says, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, and he settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness." Then the man with 2 bags of gold also came. He said, "Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. But see, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him, give it to the one who has 10, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I love this passage because it emphasizes for us the expectation of what we should do with the abundantly beyond we've been given. The things, the blessings that we have in our life, anything that has been given to us, there is an expectation. This master has an expectation, or he wants something to happen with the gifts that he's given to these servants. And maybe there's at least 3 ways, very, very briefly, I'll give us some encouragement. 2 traps that I think we could fall into, and 1 way to respond that I think God is calling us to today. We can be entitled Christians. The entitled Christian says, "I deserve what I've been given. I deserve it." Look around. Look around. We have a building. We've been here 10 years. We got the parking lot. The pastor paid for it. That was easy. We got a kid's wing, and we like soft chairs. Like, we deserve this because we worked for this, right? If you've been with us for 10 years or 9 years or a while, you know that a lot of work and sweat equity and early days and long days has gone into the establishing of this ministry. And we could say, we earned this. We deserve this. We are entitled to the growth that we experience today, the impact and the momentum. We deserve this. But that's not what we see in this parable, right? Because none of the gold that the people invested, that the things, the growth that they experienced, where did it come from? It wasn't theirs. It was their master's. Nowhere in this passage does it indicate that this was payment. It wasn't their pay. He's giving it to them to steward. "Hey, I'm giving you a bunch of money. I'm giving you opportunity. I'm blessing you with this. Let's be clear, who owns it? It's mine," says the master, "but I want you to do something with it." There is no entitlement. We should have no entitlement when we remember that everything we have comes from God. Even the things we work for. "Oh, I worked hard. I worked with my own hands for this." Yeah, but who gave you those hands? Who gave you the ability? We don't want to be entitled Christians. We also don't want to be, this is another one, entertained Christians. We talked about this a week or two ago, moving from being consumers. We want to be contributors. We don't want to be consumers, but the entertained Christian says, "I'm enjoying what I've been given. Yes, it comes from God, but boy, he loves me. Boy, I've been blessed, and I'm going to sit and enjoy. I'm going to be filled up. And I'm going to love coming to church because God has blessed us. God is good. He saved me, and so now I can sit secure. Fill me up, God. Give me what I need, and then go on out." This is half of what we've been called to be, right? Yes, God wants to fill us up. God wants to meet us where we're at, but there's a purpose for it. He says, "I'm going to fill you up so that you can then pour out." It's not so that we can sit and be entertained. And in church, this is a temptation as we've turned 10. This is a temptation for us today that we're here, we made it, we're done. Let's just kind of chill and come and do the church thing and it'll be fine. But I'm telling you, we don't want to be entitled. We don't want to be entertained. We want to be engaged Christians, engaged Christ followers who says this, I am investing what I've been given. In this passage, the master gives to his servants different amounts of his wealth, 5, 2, and 1, each according to his ability. It's not random. And God gives that with the master gives that with the expectation that it would be invested, made to grow, to have an impact. Church, everything we have been given. And everything we've been given, we have been given with the purpose of investing it in the kingdom. Every ability in this church, every family who gives financially, every skill that is used in service is made, that has been given to help build up the kingdom that we are a part of. This master has an expectation that what is given would make an impact. 10 years of provision and growth is what we've experienced. And this is a blessing that began as a beyond prayer. People praying that we would plant a church, that we'd have a first Sunday, that hopefully there'd be a second Sunday and a third Sunday. We don't want to be entitled, seeing all of this as something we deserved, all of this. No, we don't want to be entertained, seeing this church now as a place to get comfortable. We want to be engaged, asking God how to invest every blessing we have for the blessing of others. Church, this building is not for us. This building is not for us. This building is for those who have not yet stepped foot in this building. Do you know that? Like the body of Christ is here. We're still here. We're the body. The fellowship here is the fellowship. We don't need a building to be a church. The church is people. So this building is not the church. This building is just a tool that is no longer for us. It is for those who haven't set foot in this community yet. And we're excited for that. This stage is not for me. This stage, this platform is for those who will be yet to come and speak and teach and guide and instruct those who haven't yet set foot in the building. Our finances are not for our benefit, but to be used for the benefit of others. We have been blessed, amen? Have you been blessed? We have been blessed so that we might be a blessing. This is the call of the Christ follower. God desires us as his people not only to grow beyond this current season, but to go beyond our current scenery. We use the word planting sometimes. We were a church plant, and you used established. When we think of a church plant, when you plant something, there's an action. A seed is planted. It's nurtured in some water in the right soil, and then you step back and you wait for it to grow, but you only plant hoping that there will be fruit at the end of that. There's a purpose to the things that you plant. Well, I'll say this. We were a church plant, and I'll say, if we haven't already, at 10 years, let's consider ourselves officially planted, okay? We are no longer a church plant, but now there's an expectation. There's an expectation for the thing that is growing to produce fruit. We've made an impact, but the work is far from done. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into his harvest field. One of the things we did when we planted this church is we called every church in Kendallville and asked them to help us get to know the community we were stepping into. And we said, would you just tell us your attendance? And so we added up all the attendance. We compared that to the population of Kendallville, and it was somewhere under 3,000-ish represented for a town of roughly 10,000. Now, I don't know what our numbers are today, but and we still have the second service to come. I don't think we're going to hit 10,000 today. It's okay. But what that means, there's no failure, but it means that the work is not done. The harvest is, in fact, plentiful, church. We've been given too much not to give our all for the gospel. We've been too richly blessed not to richly bless those around us. I believe that God wants to do abundantly beyond 10 years. 10 years is great. Praise God for 10 years. Many new churches do not make it to 10 years for a billion different reasons. God in his grace has allowed us to come to this point, but it's not about our ability. It's about his faithfulness. Amen. Lamentations. John, you can come on up. I know we're going to close in a song, and I'll tell you what song. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:21. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Say this, these last four words with me. Great is your faithfulness. We can trust that God has plans for our beyond in tomorrow because he's been faithful to the beyond of yesterday, to the beyond of 10 years ago when we gathered together for the first time. And Chelsea mentioned this, I am thankful that it snowed today and not 10 years ago. That would have impacted things. But boy, has God been faithful. And I believe that the beyond that he has prepared for us for the future will absolutely overshadow the things of the last 10 years. And there have been some big ones. There have been momentous moments of growth and miracle and provision. But I believe truly the best is yet to come. Not because of our hard work, not because of you and I using our skills and our abilities and our finances. I believe the best is yet to come because God's best is beyond anything we could ask or imagine. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity we have to gather. Thank you for the opportunity we have to pray. Thank you for the opportunity we have just to be here in your presence. Truly, you are above and beyond anything we could ask or imagine. And Jesus, I believe that you are calling us, those that are brand new to the faith, you're saying, take another step, go beyond where you are today. And those who have been believers for 10, 20, 30 years, the same invitation applies. Would you go beyond where you are today and continue to follow Jesus into what is next? So Lord, we ask your blessing on the next moments, minutes, months, years, not for establishing our name or our impact, but for the kingdom, that you would go above and beyond and do things, Lord, that in 10 years, we'll look back and go, we didn't see that coming because we weren't praying with big enough prayers. We didn't have a wild enough imagination. But God, give us big dreams and allow us to trust in you for the beyond. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's in your name we pray. Amen.